Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. So I did an interview this afternoon with JR. We have a new affiliate in Albany, New York, WGY. Did I tell you about this, Mike? And he's a nice guy, but he spent like half of the interview talking about how cool his show was.
We got Phil Henry on the line here at WGY. And Phil, you do a pretty interesting show, don't you?
Yeah, it's okay.
It's like my show's pretty interesting. See, my show's pretty funny. And did I tell you about my show? So anyway...
So I said to him, I said, you know, our fall book just came out here in L.A. It blows. How about was
you? Well, my book was great. We had good numbers. But see, my show's always good. But Phil, he's a funny guy. Like me, I'm funny.
Anyway, 1-800-4... So anyway, welcome to WGY. Nice guy, JR. And his producer's name is Scarbelly. So that's got something to do with their relationship. And he's on in the afternoon, and we're... You don't want me to think up no nickname for you? Come on, man. Anyway, we got R.C. Collins is calling in from Chatsworth High School. R.C., how are you doing tonight? Yo, R.C., how you doing tonight, buddy? Okay, is he there? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm right here. I was just thinking up a nickname for Mike Schaefer would be Ass Face or something like that. But I guess that...
What are you screaming for, man?
I didn't know if you could hear me. But I was thinking...
Hold on for a minute, okay? Just back off the line a little bit. All right, so, Ass Face, huh?
Yeah, I thought that would be pretty good, because I could...
Don't scream, dude, all right?
I'm sorry, I'm trying to... because I left... We were just over at the City Walk, and I don't know whether you can hear me.
Okay, we can hear you fine. If you're on a car phone, we can hear you fine.
Okay.
All right. So what's up?
I just wanted to know if you wanted to get a piece of what's been going on. I don't know if you heard or not. Did you hear?
Heard about what?
Well, we got a pretty good pool going. Do you want to get a piece of it?
A pool about what?
Oh, my God. You didn't hear about it.
No. What happened? I mean that...
Oh, my God. James Doohan. Check this out, man. I got... Bud, over there.
What are you doing with it?
Over there, Bud. I got Bud Dickman's over here, Phil. We got some chips and dip. We're going to be watching some Star Trek reruns and everything on account of we want to see James Doohan when he was younger because he turned 80... And anyway, the word is that he is married, okay?
And James Doohan, who's the guy that played, what is it? excuse me. Scotty? Is that it?
Scotty? God damn, what do you got, a cold?
Yes, I have a cold.
God, you went, Scotty? You okay?
I'm fine, man. I got a cold.
Okay, anyway, James Doohan is the guy what played Scotty on the Star Trek TV show, which was... Not as good as Star Wars, whatever, but it's not bad if you're, you know, sitting at home and everything, when I had dialysis.
Right.
Okay. He's 80 now, okay?
Got it.
All right, and he married this woman, she's 43. They've been married, think about that. They've been married for about 3 years. Anyway, the word is, and I just got it from, Pete Pelmo?
Yeah, the guy that washes, that used to wash cars, your dad's business?
Right, Pete got it off. He got it from some people. The word is they're going to have a baby.
Okay, James Doohan and his wife.
He's 80.
He's 80.
She's 43.
She's 43, and they're going to have a baby.
Come on, man.
Come on, man, what?
We're taking odds on whether the kid's Mongo or not.
What do you mean you're taking odds on whether...
Oh, come on. James Doohan is 80. She's 43. I'm saying I'm giving 3-1. By the way, is Taylor there?
Yeah, he's right here.
Tell him that I got his bet, because he called it in before the...
What are you doing? Are you betting on this? He's going, yeah?
Yeah, I got his $20. Anyway, the word is that they're getting married.
Well, what do you mean you're taking odds on whether the kid's Mongo?
80 and 43? Figure it out, man. God damn... The kid's going to come out of there.
Wait. James Doohan is an 80-year-old man. His wife is 43. That's still plenty of time. Very young.
Very young. You know, that can only come from a guy that's 47. Yeah, very young, sure. And I suppose, are you and your wife having a baby?
I beg your pardon?
Are you and you heard me. I don't stutter. You and your wife having a baby. Hey, Phil.
Yeah?
Check this out. Just stand in front of the mirror. Is there a mirror there?
Yeah, I'm in a radio studio, man. That's one thing we always have plenty of, mirrors.
Well, get a pocket mirror or something.
Let me get this one. Okay, I got a pocket mirror.
Prop it up in front of you.
Okay.
Now take both of your fingers.
What is so funny?
Just do it.
Okay.
Now pull your eyes back and stick your tongue out.
What is that?
Mongo, mongo.
Anyway, what do you mean you bet 20 bucks with that freaking wild case of a dialect, that kid with no kidney? Taylor's in on 20 bucks, pull my eyes back and stick my tongue out. What does he want now? God damn. What do you want, okay?
Look, I only got one nut, and I got less chance of Mongo Kids on account of it. And all I'm...
Thank you very much.
Oh, come on, don't hang up, man.
Thank you very, very much. James Doohan, who plays Scotty in the movie the television series Star Trek, who played Scotty, is 80. His wife's 43. R.C. Collins, out of Chatsworth High, I'd like to say, is taking bets on whether the kid's Mongo or not, and he's given 3-1. He was offering you, what, 3-1? And Taylor is clicking his heels in the halls here, just, oh, yeah, man, this is the greatest thing's ever happened to him. 3-1 odds on the Mongo kid. God! Very cold, man. Very wrong. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? Very cold and very, very wrong.
Oh, live a little.
What do you mean, live a little?
Come on. Loosen up. Hey, Phil.
What?
Do this.
All right.
Drop your jaw.
Wait a second, man.
Just do it. Just drop your jaw. Now look in the mirror.
Get out of here, will you?
Mongo! Hey, ain't there a place in El Monte called Mongo Toyota?
All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Bobby Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association coming up later on in the show. What are the odds their kid's Mongo? James Doohan, who was the other guy? Tony Randall, he was about 114, right? Anthony Quinn was about 168. Who are some of these other guys, man, doing their vanity kid-making, you know, their ego kid-making? Let me spit out a kid before they cut the back out of my suit, stick me in the ground with a little lily in my hand, and I head west. It's just ego kid, it's just kid production for the sake of whatever, making that wrinkled-up old creep feel better about himself, and then he checks out. The kid's got no dad. So one thing, you know, if you die, you know, like an accident or something, when you're going to croak in a week, and you go ahead and you pump one more kid out for what? Legacy? How do you know what your legacy is going to be? How do you know the kid isn't going to grow up to become some, like, flaming? Excuse me, but if you're an Anthony Quinn, I don't know. I don't want to make any assumptions, but let's just say, what if the kid becomes, you know, a lot of loud purples, does interior design? I don't know. Hanging out at the news cafe down there in South Beach, just... is very flamboyant. What if you have a flamboyant kid? I'm trying to think of the thing that would drive a guy nuts, you know, as a father. Most guys don't say they don't care, but, you know, I'm trying to think of what would, like if you're an Anthony Quinn, if you're some virile 85-year-old guy, one last time at bat, boom, another kid is made, you croak, you're dead, you figure it's your legacy. What legacy is this? The kid's mincing around a showroom somewhere going, no, I like the purples. I do. I like the purples. When Johnny, just before Johnny died, he said he wanted all of this done in mauve. I don't think so. So we took the kids out eating this weekend, and once again, of course, they screamed, they cried, they wept, they gnashed their teeth, they felt horrible over the fact that they had to eat something new. Well, that's tough. You're not going to have McDonald's. You're going to try some new kind of a hamburger. Why? Why? Anyway, we sat him down at this deli. We're sitting there, and we're having food. Is it me? I mean, I brought this up. People, well, you know, where I live out in, well, I shouldn't say. But you know where I live, Westlake. And anyway, there is a lot of phony baloney plastic surgery that happens out there on any given day, any given week, any given minute. There's a whole lot of breasts getting lifted up, pushed down, ears going up, asses getting swelled out, shrunken down, legs. What are they doing? All kinds of work. These two women sat down. They had on that real skin-tight kind of ribbed sweater. four, count them, four, two women, four enormously well-shaped, perfectly done breasts. Their faces, now that's another thing entirely. You see, nature, I don't know what you want to, nature just doesn't lie. You can have the biggest boobs and the tightest ass and everything. They put it all together great. But you know what? If you've lived a bad life, if you're essentially an unhappy person, if you're somebody that just, you know, no matter what, you can't be, it's going to show in your face. And you looked at these craggy, crinkled up old kissers on these women, and I could hear them. They sat down, they had this, the butterfly, not really the butterfly shade, that's a bit arcane, but there was some kind of a swoop Cadillac effect to the eyeglasses, and kept them on in the restaurant. Thank you very much. And some kind of a hairdo, I don't know what you call it. It was a fright wig. And they sat down, and there they are with the, you know, they got those torpedo breasts, and I could hear every now and again, God. I couldn't take my eyes off of them. My wife said to me, look at how frightening they are. I know, it's just disgusting, isn't it, honey? Yes, it is. Those breasts are so fake. I got out the Bausch and Lomb's, and I'm like, yeah, I can see them right now. You know, I'm telling you, and I'm like 5 feet from their table. God, there are more fake boobs out there. More plastic, silicone, saline, whatever you want to call it. It's just flying around that place. And it's just, the only reason why I mention is, no, there isn't a woman my wife knows that doesn't have a fake pair. She doesn't have one friend in her life that hasn't had some kind of work like that done. Not one. You know what? I encourage it. I'm going to have her do it. I used to hate it. Now I like it. So one of the kids go to the restaurant. And a big thing happened this weekend. You know, you take a kid out to eat. As I've mentioned on the show, you know, they don't like half the crap that you're going to serve them. They just don't. Catherine, the little one, she eats chicken and fries. Chicken and fries. Chicken and fries. Chicken and fries. What do you want, Catherine? Oh, let me guess. Chicken and fries.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter where we are. We went into a sushi bar. Last night, it's right around the corner from where I live, because I, you know, so I like it. I like a good raw thing. And there she is in a sushi bar. You guys got any chicken and fries? I mean, let me just get this out of the way right up. Oh, yeah. Used to be a horrible thing, man. I said, we're going to go over to the sushi bar, and these kids would wail and scream. Now, they're all right with it. They're, like, getting used to it, because they got some kind of a stir fry that they eat, some sort of noodles and slop. They love it. They eat the noodles and slop. They look like they're, you know, they're doing okay. But one of these weeks, I'm going to force them to eat raw fish. See, what's wrong with a kid starving to death? In other words, the point I'm making is, what's wrong with saying to a kid, oh, you don't want to eat that? No. Oh, okay, well, then you're not eating. What's wrong with that? Maria, her philosophy is, well, the kids need to have their protein. They got to have something. So if they don't eat it, then she makes them top ramen, or she makes them whatever, peanut butter and jelly. I said, no, you eat that. What, is there something wrong with that? Is that old school? That's what my old man did to me. I'm scarred. My father's dead. I beat him to death. But, you know, it was wonderful. It was a wonderful time that we had together. No, I put a big pat of butter once on some broccoli. I couldn't eat it. My old man made me sit there and eat that pat of broccoli. It must have been like a half pound of butter that I put on the broccoli that didn't melt. I had to sit there and eat that. I'll never forget gagging on that crap. It was a wonderful learning experience for me. When I finally got my license, I ran my father over. But what's wrong with that? It's the fight I have with my wife all the time. Look, here's what we're eating tonight. You eat this. No, I want chicken and noodles or whatever the hell it is, and get out the top ramen. No. Well, then what if they don't eat? They will eat. If they get hungry enough, they'll eat it. That's my feeling. If they're hungry enough, they'll eat it. It has to happen. It stands to reason. It's, I don't know if they call it the law of averages or whatever. If somebody's hungry, they'll eat that slop. Don't seriously, man. They'll go ahead, whatever the hell it is. I forget the stuff that half the crap that we eat. Oh, steak. Here you go. Steak. Sirloin steak. Oh, again? Oh, well, excuse me. Well, we won't have that next week, Your Royal Freaking Highness, Mr. Vanderbilt, sir. Yeah, it's steak. Eat it. Nah, I can't get it down. It's, you know, it's too tough. It's like shoe leather. When you, there's something about a 10-year-old kid picking up a steak and going, it's like shoe leather, and throwing it back on a plate. Man, I just, all, that's all it takes. I go down to the basement. I start to shave my head into a mohawk. I put on a flak jacket. I get pictures of Kate Smith and cut out the eyes. I get my rifle. I'm ready to go. All I need is an 8-year-old kid. What did you have last night? A steak? What'd you have? Sirloin? T-bone? Oh, yeah, man. Pepper steak. Peppercorn? It's great. Not at our house. I make that steak. And the kid, imagine a 10-year-old kid flipping a steak around going, ah, it's like charcoal! Like Robert De Niro in Raging Bull. It defeats its own purpose. It's like charcoal! What are you telling me, man? I don't know. I've always said, I'm the evil stepfather. I got my way. She's got her way. She's the mom. They're her kids. I'm just the stepdad. And I tell them, and they think it's funny. I tell the kids, I'm just the evil stepdad. What do I know? But I figure when I lay a sirloin steak in front of you guys, that's it's a treat. And when you pick it up and go, nah, I can't eat this crap. You what? So that was our adventure this past weekend. And then we had another little thing. We had a basketball game with Catherine yesterday. Get a load of this. Little 8-year-old kid basketball game. Parents on the other team, man, what a bunch of jackasses. What a pack of, they were chewing out the ref. They were screaming. They're 8-year-old kids. By the way, our team won. But that's not the point. By the way, we kicked their ass. But, come on. The Jazz beat the Magic. Although at the end of the game when they were doing the big cheer that the kids do, 2, 4, 6, 8, Maria's leading them in the cheer. Magics! Magics! Yay, Magics! So this guy walks up to the ref and starts chewing this kid out. He's like a 13-year-old referee. He's bawling by the time he gets off the floor. I wanted to get a Gatling gun. There's too much of that stuff going on in our schools. There's too much of that abuse of young people. I wanted to get a rifle. Oh, you mean that's bad? So anyway, we had the game. We beat him. We out-rebounded him 43-31. I'm running up and down the floor with my tongue flying out of my face like Red Auerbach screaming. They're only 8 years old, but what the hell? They got to learn how to win now. By the way, they don't keep score. That doesn't stop me. I keep score, and I keep the rebounds, and I keep Catherine's points. We won. 24-18. Go Magics. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. So Taylor's telling me he had escargot for the first time this past weekend. Did you, you worked in a French restaurant where you're cleaning out the shells and stuff?
Wash dishes.
Well, that's what I wash dishes too. What's that got to do with cleaning out escargot shells? You throw them in the garbage, man.
No, this guy cleaned them out and then he put
Some of the weird crap we had to do with these jobs. I had a dishwashing job in an old folks' home. Oh, God. Oh, man. And it was back in the day when you could still smoke in a restaurant, the plate would come back half-eaten with a cigarette butted right in the mashed potatoes. It's wild. Atlanta on the Phil Henry Show. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, ma'am. How are you?
Hi, I'm fine.
Great.
My daughter went to school, and she has, one of those little, hippie teachers who decided to teach about vegetarianism one day.
She's got one of them hippie teachers.
Yeah.
I mean, in other words, somebody my age.
Basically.
Gotcha.
And she basically just started telling her all about, vegetarianism and taught her that beef is a cow. So now my daughter does not want to eat a cow. So what do I do now when I'm making, beef, hamburgers and steaks and roasts and stuff? What do I do?
Because you know how kids are.
How old? Went ahead and taught her that beef was a cow.
But don't kids grow out of that? How old's your kid?
Well, she's 8.
Yeah, they get out of that? Don't they move past that? You can tell a kid. I showed the kids Alien one time, and for a week they didn't want to sleep with. They thought something with a dripping mouth is going to come after them. They got over it.
She gets sad that the little cow has to die.
Well, you know what? It may be Gandhi. You know who Gandhi was? Mahatma Gandhi?
Yeah.
He ate lamb once as a kid, and he had a dream that the lamb was alive in his stomach, crying. And he never ate meat again for the rest of his life. Maybe it's a good thing. Who knows?
I mean, hey, maybe it is, but I mean, is it? Was it like?
Maybe she doesn't like your cooking. If you thought maybe she doesn't like your cooking, maybe she thinks your hamburgers are just the. Oh God, Mom, I don't know how to tell you this. You know what? I think I'll become a vegetarian. On second thought, I think I'll just eat out. Okay, thanks for calling.
All right.
Bye. I told you about that place I went to in France, that street in Paris, where the first night we were in town, so we walked down to the L'Opera district, which, by the way, L'Opera in Long Beach is where I'm going to be having my little Valentine's tete-a-tete with my beautiful wife, Maria, the wonderful L'Opera down in Long Beach. Visit them soon. And anyway, I ain't getting paid. I ain't even eaten there yet. Patrick, I hope it's good. They tell me it is. So anyway, we go to this joint, and I say joint, very nice restaurant, right on the street, the little, you know, the typical Parisian sidewalk cafe. I say, let me have that seafood platter. I didn't say that. I said something like, monsieur, screw it. I had somebody else do it for me. So this guy brings this thing. It's got the escargot shells. And then this thing called periwinkles, which are little miniature snails. And you, man, every kind of utensil, pointed, long, sharp things. Those clamps that you use with those escargot. Weird-ass-looking forks. Tiny spoons. I don't know how to use this. They just bring this crap. They put it down in front of you. So I did the best I could with these little tiny periwinkles. They're like miniature snails, you know. And the next thing I knew, this wasn't really a seafood platter. This was some kind of a garden platter. In other words, anything you find in a garden that's alive other than a vegetable. I was eating it. Worms, snails. Suddenly, I was five again. Because when I was five, I ate snails. When I was five, I was a great connoisseur of snails. You never did that? When you're four or five, you got outside eating worms? Bull crap, yes you did. Don't be shaking your head like I'm some kind of aberrant individual. I ate snails, I ate worms, come on now. You're going to make me feel insecure. I'm out of my freaking mind? Are you telling me that? At four, I was nuts, huh? I needed help? Sure, I went out, I ate snails, worms, grasshoppers, all kinds of crap, just to see what it's like. Just to have it, that's where I got my healthy appetite. I really believe that today, I'm the connoisseur of fine foods that I am because of that. So that's what it was. It was like I was 5 years old again eating this swill. And then they brought the oysters, and it was the worst garbage I ever had. I couldn't stand it. Let me tell you something. I've had good oysters. I ate oysters down in Florida, Lee and Rick's in Orlando, which probably ain't there anymore. By the way, we're going on in Orlando in another couple of weeks. How about them apples? And we're going on in Cincy in another couple of weeks. So Henry Nation's taken off. But anyway, in Orlando, they had a place called Lee and Rick's on... what's the street? I forget. Anyway, great joint. You ever had steamed oysters? Good. They were Apalachicola. Real good stuff. So I go over to France, cut to now, 20-some years later. Now I'm sitting there on a sidewalk cafe in France. I'm having their oysters on a half shell. Oh, God, I couldn't get them down. They're the worst things I ever had in my life. I said, where are your oysters from? Normandy Coast, sir. Only thing I know about that, didn't they fight a war there once? They killed a bunch of Germans there is all I know. Is that where you're getting your oysters? Didn't a whole bunch of guys die there once and a whole bunch of ships sunk?
The oysters are from the Normandy coast.
Yeah, that's where they sunk a bunch of ships. I'm sure of it now. No wonder your oysters taste like caca. Whole lot of oil, whole lot of ship gasoline down there, brother.
I don't know what you're speaking of. You must be some kind of an asshole. An American asshole.
Why are you talking with your hands, by the way, Froggy? Just go get me something to eat. Get me something I can keep down, okay?
But, monsieur, you must be some kind of, I don't know, a dick to speak to me in such a way. I've never been spoken to like this. Henri!
So they threw us out, and we were driven by hunger and paranoia all the way back to our hotel, popping in and out, trying to get ourselves something good to eat, like Italian food. Thank you very much. You should have seen me. I walked into that place, man. I'm down at, I don't know, some other place. I got out of that Louvre, and I'm a typical ugly American. It wasn't supposed to be that way. You saw the story last week. 1/3 of all French adults attempt suicide. We said we're trying to get that number up. I really did. I tried hard not to be the ugly American. I really wanted to enjoy the trip, but it just didn't work out that way because, well, for a lot of different reasons, many of them I've spoken about on the show and some perhaps I haven't, but they were good reasons. I'm a likable guy. I'm not trying to get into it with anybody. So I walked down the street and I said to Maria, look at this. She says, what? This is an Italian restaurant. look at this. This is a we went in. We were the first customers. The guys, yes, may I help you, sir? I said, bring me garlic. Just bring bread with garlic and crap. Just bring it. And, man, it was good. Best meal I had in Paris in an Italian restaurant. Then the last night we were there, get a load of this, Craig. We went down to a place called La Marais. And it's really shishi joint off of the Arc de Triomphe, okay? All the streets lead into the Arc de Triomphe like a big spokes on a wheel. You come up, and you're almost there. Here's this restaurant. Oh, Jesus. You walk in, they got a captain for the restaurant, and they got another guy who wipes your rear end, and another guy that picks the boogers out of your nose, and another guy that sits you down and dusts off the seat before you sit down. Then there's another guy there that sprays underarm underneath you in case you stink when you come in. Then they got a captain of the table. They got the assistant captain of the table. They got a shortstop, a first baseman. Man, this place is unbelievable. And they're running around there with a wedge up their rear end so far, man, you'll never find it. And you begin to ask yourself, am I here for them, or are they here for me? In other words, why am I so tense? Afraid that I'll say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing. The captain of the table's got a big C on his shirt, man. He's carrying a hockey stick with a helmet. And so anyway, you know, and you begin to ask yourself, why am I? You see, I'm a big believer in class. You got to have class. You got to have some manners. If you don't know how to sit and conduct yourself in a restaurant, in a public place, then go back home, turn on bowling, whatever you got to do, all right? But if you have a modicum of taste and manner, then you know how to conduct yourself in a restaurant. But you don't want it so that you're so uptight that you can't even squeeze any sweat out in your armpits, you're so uptight. And we're sitting here, and I'm telling you, it was beautiful. And they sat us down at the most awkward table. I don't know. Usually I move my ass where I want to sit. But all these frogs, well, you know, they don't speak English. I don't understand. They speak perfect English, man. But they don't. Monsieur, can I move, s'il vous plaît, my assay over to the table? I don't understand. What do you say? I want to move. I don't dig the table. So we wound up ordering some kind of a cream sauce crap thing. Nothing. It was nothing, man. It was very unremarkable. And I'm telling you, we spent about three bills for this dinner for the two of us. Now, I know what you're saying. Many of you who are Francophiles, you're saying, oh, you wouldn't know a good meal, Henry, if they shoved it down your freaking throat with one of those goose things, one of those big funnels, you know, they just jamming it in there. You wouldn't know a good meal, man, if they gave it away. Well, yes, I would. Believe it or not. And this wasn't good. You want to know why? Because French food is just, doesn't agree with my palate. I like it spicy. I like it hot. I like maybe more of a tomato base. I don't know what it is. Maybe Italian or Spanish or something. Maybe it's because I grew up in California where everything here is Mexican, you know. There's a lot of Italian-Mexican stuff going on around here. Some of it I'm not too happy about. But that's another topic. But I cannot eat that French crap. Their food sucks. They're not known for their food. I don't care what you say. They're not. And by the way, their wine ain't that good either. Had a bottle of Bordeaux over there. I thought, what did you do? Did you guys put this? It's like they kept it in somebody's filing cabinet. I don't mean the bottle. I mean they poured the wine into the metal cabinet.
Well, it's a Bordeaux, monsieur. C'est Merlot from a Bordeaux. I don't give a crap. It tastes like you're pouring it out of someone's rear end.
How long did you age this in the ass that you stored it in, sir? Because I'm telling you, it's just simply...
What an insult! I will not have you in this...
Well, I'm telling you, it's lousy. You come home to good old California, you get some of that Mendocino Napa stuff, now you're talking about wine! Bordeaux. It cost me dough to be bored drinking that. See? Bordeaux. Bordeaux. Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. We were going to get Bobby Dooley on here in this final segment, but maybe we'll hold Bobby over till 9 o'clock. Bobby Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association, because we're sitting here talking about food all of a sudden off the air. And my engineer, Craig Taylor, grew up in the Philippines. He was, you know, not born there, but where were you born?
You were born there? Yeah.
But you were born there to white people?
Yeah.
Okay. And because sometimes I can't tell. And anyway, joking around. Well, it wouldn't be an insult if, right? Okay, you don't mind being Filipino. You loved that experience, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
And he's talking about Filipino food. So I said, well, is it like Cuban food? And he said, I don't know, Phil. I haven't had Cuban food. And I said, well, that makes sense. But anyway, let me ask you a question. What causes a culture to develop to this point? And how far off from the way we are? You know, in other words, in the Philippines, they have an egg called, what is it called?
A balut
egg. And it's a fertilized egg. And you, do you boil it or you bury it?
Well, you bury it.
You bury it the way the Polynesians will bury a pig or chicken. And you bury this fertilized balut egg, and then you pull it out of the ground, and you chip the egg, and there's like a half-formed chicken in there? In other words, it's a freaking fertilized egg, and the thing is developing, and then they suck the juices out and eat the chicken. And I'm thinking, this isn't the Earth. That's not Earth. That's Mars. That's not Earth culture. That's Martian. Good God. You know what? It must have been one hungry son of a bitch that invented that dish. Must have been one hungry... that's what reptiles do that. People don't do that. How did that ever happen? Well, you know what? He couldn't have been that hungry because the guy buried it in the sand to cook it first. I got a great idea, pal. You know what it's called? What? Omelet. See what happened? Yeah, there you go. You crack it and put it in a pan. The guy is sucking it out and eating the thing, and oh, man. Any food, any animal you have to suck on, that ought to be a rule. Any food that is, eating animal food that you got to suck out of something, Frank, you need help. You need a doctor. You need something. And like down south, with all due respect, don't they suck those crawfish heads? Oh, God. Let's go down to the crawfish hole. Let's suck on a crawfish's head. Because if you do, you play piano like this. Guy's stuck. Sucking on that crawfish head. One day, Eddie skipped down to the lake. Skipping along, found a crawfish head. I don't know. Little Eddie skipped to the lake one day. Standard skipping music, Mike.
I'll tell you right now, any kind of food that you have to suck on is not good for me. No, 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 no. Went down to the Philippines one time. Well, I wrote a song about it. Well, I went down to the Philippines sucking on blut egg.
Kind of made up that dish, blut it, as far as I'm concerned. Craig, I don't want to be the guy to have to give you the news, but they eat dog in the Philippines, too. They eat dog. Only a country as fat, as overfed, as blemished, as clogged up, oily, poured as America could afford to make fun of the eating habits of other countries. Only a nation as fat and overfed and overstuffed, on the verge of heart disease in America, could afford to make fun of the way other countries eat, right? Look, if a guy wants to suck a damn chicken out of an egg, man, he's in the Philippines. I say go for it, brother. I can only imagine how tough it is over there. You want to eat dog, you have at it. You can have mine. In fact, you can have my neighbor's. He's got a big Great Dane that'll feed a family of six. I guarantee you. You can have that damn thing. Oh, man. Oh, do you have anything else on the menu? No, you're eating that. You're eating dog. It's all over. Vacation's over, Mom.
Well, where do we get our plane?
You're not getting your plane. You're eating dog. You're not getting off the island. This is Alaska Airlines. Have a nice flight. Have a nice flight.
I don't think I want the monkey brain soup. Yeah, you're going to eat it. Now eat it. Go on a tour to Hong Kong. I don't want that. You're eating it. Now eat it. No, I don't want to. You're eating it.
Hong Kong tours. We kick your ass. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Bud Dickman has joined us now for a feature called... What is the name of this feature, Bud? Just so I know that I'm... What is the name of it?
It's called... Bud Dickman's Top 10 Head Injuries.
It's called Bud Dickman's Top 10 Head... What is it?
Bud Dickman's Top 10 Head Injuries.
Okay, go ahead. What do you mean, Bud Dickman's Top 10 Head Injuries?
Just let me do it. Okay. A man with cerebral palsy has lost his discrimination suit against a convenience store over a clerk who thought he was drunk and refused to sell him beer.
I don't think that's funny.
All right. The next story.
Well, wait a minute, man. What about it?
Well, he sued him because he wanted to sell him beer.
Well, keep going.
Well.
What was the guy's name?
The guy named John Kirby was trying to buy a 12-pack of beer at a 7-Eleven store 2 years ago when a clerk accused him of being intoxicated and refused to sell him alcohol.
And the guy thought he was intoxicated because he had cerebral palsy?
Right.
Wow.
Isn't that funny?
Not necessarily, no.
I think it's hysterical.
By the way, why are we doing top 10 head injuries?
Because
just because you went through a tree in Ojai back in 92, man, don't mean we got to keep playing this stuff up, okay? What's the next one?
All right, next one is a 38-year-old man died Friday afternoon when he was crushed by his own pickup truck in a bizarre accident at a postal service office. A witness reported a man had pulled his truck up alongside a drive-by mailbox where he attempted to mail a letter or package, and he dropped the item, opened the door, and leaned out to retrieve it, but he fell out of his seat and got run over by his own car. There's been Bud Dickman's top 10 head injuries, and it...
Wait a second.
What?
Kill the music, man. What do you mean this has been Bud Dickman's top 10 head injuries? You did two of them.
Get the music back. Bud Dickman's top 10 head...
Get the music.
No, come here.
Now, why are there only two?
Because those are the only ones that made the top 10 this week.
Bud Dickman's top 10 head injuries, and only two made the list.
That's right. Here's been Bud Dickman's top 10 head injuries. If you have an interesting head injury,
give me this thing and get out of here.
You'll be sorry, man. Those are mine.
Good. Go home and read them again to yourself. And first of all, cerebral palsy ain't a head injury. And secondly, a guy running himself over with a truck.
Those are the ones I find.
Okay, good. It's the Phil Hendry Show top 10 head injuries. Did you go ahead and green light that? I don't think so.